Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. And we're coming to you from Herb's Coffee House here in Dallas, Texas. Want you to come join us sometime, be a part. We have our men's Bible study in here on Thursday mornings. Kent, it's a great place to do God's work. And today we are in John 17, verse 13. And the title of our devotion is Full Joy. I mean, nobody wants half joy.
Right.
And nobody wants partial joy. I mean, we want full joy. And that's what Jesus is talking about as he prays for his disciples. And so let's look at it. John 17, 13. But now I come to you. Jesus realizes the time has now come. His hour is now here. That he'll go to the cross, lay down his life, a sacrifice for the sins of many, and that he will be buried, raised from the dead, ascend back to heaven, to the right hand of God the Father. So that's what he means when he says, but now I come to you. It's not talking about I come to you in prayer. It's talking about I'm going to be coming to you in my ascension on the other side of the cross. And these things I speak in the world. What are these things? Well, these things are the full counsel of God that Jesus spoke for 3 years during his earthly ministry, the divine truth, the very words that the Father had given him to speak. Jesus was a faithful messenger sent from the Father to declare the full counsel of God. And these things I speak in the world so that they, referring to true believers, referring to those who are converted, referring to the given ones who had been chosen by the Father before time began, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. So, Kent, we need to unpack this a bit. Please notice he says, so that they may have my joy. Not just any joy, not a joy that the world could give to us, not a joy that we could, that originates within ourselves. Jesus says, no, I want them to have the very joy that is in me right now. I want it to be in them. This is a divine joy. It's a perfect joy. It's a joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And let me remind us, when Jesus said this, this is the night before he was crucified. He knew his hour had come. He had joy even knowing what awaited him the next day. And so that tells us, no matter how difficult our circumstances are, that Jesus gives to us a joy that is greater than our circumstances, that is not dependent upon our circumstances, that rises above our circumstances, so that they may have my joy, my exuberance. Notice, made full in themselves. Wow. Again, this isn't just a superficial joy that lays on the facade of their lives, on the exterior of their soul. No, it's a full joy that's deep down within them. So it's almost like an artesian well that's bubbling up.
Yeah.
Joy that's rising to the surface on the outside. And notice, I mean, we know what's facing them, these disciples. I mean, they're going to be going into a world in which they face persecution and trials and tribulations. Insults, mockery, they'll be considered as outcasts. They will be martyred. Nevertheless, in the midst of that, there's this deep artesian well of joy that will be bubbling up within their soul. And this is what Jesus is praying for them to experience and to know. He's praying this for you and me, even right now at the right hand of God the Father. And joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, becomes one of the distinguishing marks of a true disciple. And Jesus said earlier in John 15, 11, truly, truly, I say to you, these words I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be made full. John 15, 11. So Kent, I know there are times I need to have more joy. Mm-hmm. And you need to have more joy, I'm sure, and our listeners. It really comes back to our joy is found in the Lord. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And that it is the word of God that produces even greater joy within us. It's what he says here. These things I speak in the world so that my joy might be in them. So the more we get into the word of God, the more we are bathed in the truth of God's word with sound doctrine and profound theology, the greater we are positioned to experience this joy. So, Kent, I need to yield the floor to you.
Yeah. Well, that is convicting, but it's something I think that we need to really focus on. You mentioned the Apostle Paul telling the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica,
yeah,
to rejoice always, and they were having trials, they were in persecution,
yeah,
and they were having difficulties financially, they had worries, concerns, and it's one thing to say rejoice,
yeah,
but then to rejoice always, and you mentioned, I'm going to get to my question here. You mentioned it's by focusing on the greater,
yeah,
which is what our Lord has done for us.
Yes.
So I want you to talk to our audience here in our next couple of minutes. Our joy should be full because of what Christ has done for us. Can you just start naming the things and things that come to your head about what our Lord has done for us that can give us joy,
yeah,
as we live here,
right,
on this earth?
And I think it's not only what he has done,
it's
also what he is doing.
Sure.
And what he will do.
Everything.
Just everything.
Giving us some.
Well, I mean, it just starts with his sinless life and his substitutionary death,
mm-hmm,
that he obeyed the law of God in our place so that he fulfilled all righteousness, mm-hmm, so that he can give his perfect righteousness, mm-hmm, to us when we believe in Christ, mm-hmm, in the act of justification by faith, that at the cross he propitiated or satisfied, mm-hmm, God's anger towards us so that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He reconciled us to the Father, removing the barrier of our sin,
mm-hmm,
between us and the Father. We now are joined to the Father and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us out of our sin, such that sin no longer is our taskmaster that enslaves us to our former lusts. We have been set free to live the abundant life in Christ. We are in Christ, and he holds us in his right hand, and we will never fall away from him. And he now is at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for us, meaning he's praying for us, and he is representing us to the Father, such that whatever accusations or slanders that are brought against us by the devil or even others, that they fail because Christ is pleading his own righteousness on our behalf. He is causing all things to work together for good, which is to conform us into his own image.
Even these difficulties that we face, little things in our lives.
Even these storms that he sends us into, there's a purpose in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by his all-wise design,
mm-hmm,
to wean us off of ourselves, to wean us off of the world, to make us more sympathetic to other people as they go through difficult times, to purify our faith, to deepen our prayer life. I mean, trials do all of that, make us more tender-hearted, mm-hmm, in our walk with the Lord. They humble us. I mean, those are all just grand,
yeah,
positives.
Unbelievable.
And he's also involved in the answers to our prayers because we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the extension of his kingdom. He is using us in his service, as his instruments, and he's coming back for us. I mean, how about that? I mean, he is coming back as a bridegroom for his bride, and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and he'll take us home to be with the Father. And we will be then fully made into his image, and we will be with him forever and ever, and we will enjoy him. And I mean, all that he has done, all that he is doing, all that he will do, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah. And I think, just as we close here, doesn't mean that we don't have heartache, because there, I think Paul speaks about a sorrowful joy.
Yeah.
Even in our sorrow, we can look at those things that you talked about and still have a joy in our sorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53. And we follow him and we walk the same path.
That's huge.
And there is sorrow in our life. People betray us, people leave us, people harm us, people slander us. It can even be loved ones, it can be within our families. And so it doesn't mean we just get a free pass and we go through this world without heartache. We will shed real tears. We will wake up in the middle of the night with discouragement. But we have to keep bringing our mind and our heart back to the Lord and remembering that God is at work. God is at work. God is at work in my life. And he has a master plan. And it's unfolding one step at a time. And I can't see where this is all headed, but he knows and he sees and he's leading and he's guiding, and it's all going a crescendo in the future, whether in this life or in the life to come, but it will all come to a glorious conclusion. So Kent, we've taken on a lot in this. I want to thank you for being a part of Steadfast Hope. Kent and I consider it a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to you in these short snippets of devotions, and to be able to minister to you. It's a privilege for us, and I pray that you allow us to do more of this. You can reach us at onepassion.org. There's all kinds of resources that are made available to you without cost. And so I would just urge you to go on our website to onepassion.org. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for Steadfast Hope.